Savior, that's what makes all the difference in the world. Please take your Bibles this morning with me and turn to Matthew 24. I'll get there in a moment. But first, I want to play a game. Let's pretend that a banker notified you this past Friday that an anonymous donor who loves you very much will deposit 86,400 pennies into your account each morning starting tomorrow morning. That's $864 a day for 7 days in a week, 52 weeks in a year. One stipulation he makes: you've got to spend the entire $864 each day, every day, or you lose it. Now, they start doing the figuring out on that and saying $864, 7 days a week, that's over $6,000 in a week. For 52 weeks, that's about $315,000 a year. And all I got to do is spend $864 a day. How many want to sign up? Well, so much for pretending. Now, let's play another game. Let's get serious. In this game, every morning, someone who loves you very much deposits in your bank of time 86,400 seconds. And that's 1,440 minutes. That's 24 hours each day. Same stipulation applies. You've got to use the entire amount every day. There's no way to save a couple of hours today and I'm going to use it on Wednesday. I'm going to have a 26-hour day. Can't do it. You got to spend it all each day. It's been said, life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want to, but you can spend it only once. That's a serious thing. Here at the end of the year, it's always a good time to evaluate. You may evaluate with how you've spent your time this past year and ask questions such as, how did I serve the Lord this past year? What did I accomplish? What difference did my life make in somebody else's life? In the church. How did I spend my time this past year? It's a sobering thought, really. But God has set each one of us to have a specific plan. He has a one for us. We call it the race that we must run. You remember in Hebrews 12, verse 1 and following, it talks about let us run the race that is set before us. Not letting anything get in our way, the weight, the sin that easily besets us. We're to do it keeping our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. We're to run that race. We're to live that life. We're to pursue that purpose, that goal He has for us. And we're to do that to the best of our that we can, not wasting the time that He has set before us. I have to be honest and say I have wasted time this past year. And if I had to guess, I would say each one of us probably would have to agree. Not that I've wasted time, but agree that you've wasted some too. The point is, we all can improve on how we use the time God has given us. We all need to be very serious about how we look at that time and what's going on. We have a race to run, and we should not be distracted. We should not be deterred, but we should be determined. There's a commercial on right now with the football games that are coming. And I think I heard it for the one that will be later today. And it had something to do with this, not exactly, but anybody can make a resolution, a promise, or make a decision. So, but it takes determination to follow through. And so that's true. Not just with something with football, but it's for anything that God has before us. What He wants us to be for Him, what He wants us to do for Him, it takes determination. Not only a commitment that we are to make at one time, but we have to then make every day the same commitment, lest we waste, distracted, deterred, and not determined. Here in Matthew 24, verses 3 through 9, another thing comes to my mind here at the end of the year, and that is we are that much closer to the rapture of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ coming back in the air. Not His second coming where He comes back to the earth, that's after the tribulation period, but the next prophetic event to take place is that of the rapture of the church. There's nothing that has to take place before that. The last event that had to take place was the regathering of Israel as a nation. That took place back before my time. And now we're looking for the rapture. And the scripture talks about the signs of the times. And those signs of the times are not for the rapture. Therefore, the second coming. That's going to be 7 years at least after the rapture. And so as we see the signs of the times coming, we know that the rapture has got to be that much closer. And so we read here in Matthew 24 that I ask you to turn to. In verses 3 and following, it says, as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, as Jesus sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privily and saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences. Pestilences is that of plagues and pandemics, coronaviruses, etc. There's going to be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers or many different kind of places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. The word afflicted has to do with being persecuted, being treated ill. And shall kill you, that's kind of ill to me. And ye shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake. You know that Jews today, the nation of Israel, is hated all around the world. They're hated by people right here in the United States. Let me say, first of all, as a believer of Jesus Christ, as a follower of Christ, We are not in any way to hate the Jews. We ought to be in full support Amen. Of God's people. And he will bless those that are. He will curse those that aren't. And we need to make sure we're on the right side of that thought. But beyond that, understand that there are many people that are against the Jews because that's where Christ came from. The Lord Jesus was born as a Jew. He is the Savior of the world. Do you know that today you can sport any religion you want to in your life? You can have any opinion you want to in your life, as long as it's not about Jesus Christ. And as believers today, to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world puts a target on our back as well. You shall be afflicted, persecuted, hated, and even some will die and have died. And I'm not talking about martyrs in years past, but I'm talking about in this 2023. Because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it wasn't here in America that we know of, but certainly around the world that is true, and it's not surprising to any of us if it comes here to America. Weather-related tragedies, he described. Famines, earthquakes, health-related tragedies, plagues, pandemics, tragedies of persecution. To all of that, Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 28, "And when these things shall come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." What does he mean by that, our redemption draweth nigh? Well, our redemption is the full understanding or realization of what he has redeemed us for. Why has he redeemed us? Ultimately, to be with him in glory. And the rapture of the church does that. If the rapture were to take place this morning before 12 o'clock, it would mean that every individual in this room that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior genuinely would instantly be gone out of this room and in the Lord's presence in the twinkling of an eye. That's what would take place. Can you imagine how scary it would be for someone that would be left behind when that takes place? I hesitate to even use the words left behind because there's a series of books that talks about that I don't agree with their opinion of everything they say in there. Because it's not going to be where a person is left behind and they say, "Ooh, it's took place, it must be real, I better get saved." Because God says in Thessalonians, he says, "I'm not going to allow that. If you heard the gospel before the rapture takes place, I'm going to cause you to have a strong delusion so that you will believe a lie and you will not be saved." That's why God says today is the day of salvation. Amen. Today is when we're to make that choice. We're to make sure. Because if the rapture were to take place today and you're left behind, you are doomed for hell, according to God. Now, he makes the judgment on that. How much has a person got who have heard of the gospel before they become ineligible to get saved after the rapture takes place? I don't know. But I wouldn't want to be the one taking a chance on it. Because you're sitting in a church that has already this morning given enough information about choosing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your payment of sin that you ought to know what salvation is all about. It is important to make that choice before it becomes eternally too late. As we see the end at hand, both of this year, possibly of our life opportunities, maybe of every opportunity if the rapture were to take place. As we see the end of the year, what should and what might it produce in us? Now, I've entitled the message this morning, "The End is in Sight." The end is in sight. Father, I pray that you would help me to share very clearly the simple truths that we're about to look at, that we would understand that the opportunities that we have to serve you, whether it be in this year, whether it be in our life, whether it be ever, I pray that you would help us to have the proper response, that it would produce within us the proper attitudes, that we would be pleasing, and we would do those things that are pleasing in your sight. For it's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. I want us to see first in Titus chapter 2. So if you'll flip over there to Titus chapter 2, something that it should produce within us. And I had JT read the scripture this morning out of Titus 2. And he read one of the verses that we're going to look at in verse 13, where it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." We're looking for that, and we call it the rapture of the church. I'm not looking for the second coming. That's going to take place later. And you know what? I'm not going to be here on the earth looking for it. You know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be coming back with Him, according to Scripture. I'm going to be in heaven, and that's where Jesus will be. Matter of fact, after the rapture of the church, when the rapture takes place, it says, and if I can get through coughing, I'll tell you. It says, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, wherever the Lord is, that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in heaven with Him. The Bema Seat is going to take place up there. The marriage of the Lamb is going to take place up there. The second coming of Christ, He's coming back to the earth for the Battle of Armageddon and the sheep-goat judgment and to set up His millennial kingdom. I'm coming back with Him there. He's going to go in and rule in Jerusalem for 1,000 years as Christ here on this earth is prophesied. And I'm going to be ruling with Him. I'm going to be with Him. And then I'm going to be with, well, we'll go into all the prophecy of the future after that. But you get the point that we're going to be with Him. That blessed hope is what we're looking for. And so what should it produce as we look at the end and we're reminded that we have little time? Then just like a runner that's running a marathon paces himself and he endures through the toughness of running mile after mile after mile until he finally gets to a point where he realizes and understands there's light at the end of this. The goal line, the cross and the finish line is close. And he begins to do what? Quit? No, he begins to sprint. For he knows that he only got a little while left. I can do it. I can get there. Don't lose hope. We're looking for that blessed hope. It should produce a blessed hope. There are three commands I want to give you about that. Now, the first one Paul gives us in Galatians 6:9. He says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In other words, keep your eyes on the end. Keep your eyes on the goal. Don't grow weary. Secondly, out of James chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." We're to be patient, patiently enduring to the end. That runner has to be faithful and endure during the middle, during the time in which there's a long ways to go still. He don't give up. He doesn't quit. But he continues to press on. We are to patiently endure to the end. Don't lose heart in your service for the Lord and seeking to be and do for Him. Revelation 3:11, Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Hold on, he says. Hold on to the end. Don't give up there. I'm coming. Don't lose hope. And so the first thing it should produce in us is that blessed hope, that endurance, that pressing toward the mark, not giving up, but continuing for the Lord. Secondly, it should produce a needful urgency. In Revelation chapter 12, here's what's going on. It's during the middle of the tribulation period. And do you know that, well, let me ask you this. Do you know where Satan is today? First of all, understand he's not in hell. Okay? He is not right here in this room. And his demons are, okay? And thank the Lord, there's some good angels in here too.
Amen.
I'm not talking about you. There's some good believers too. Good, relatively speaking. Well, there's none good, none one. But Satan has access to God in heaven. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's like with Job. As God said to Satan, hey, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan said pretty much, the only reason he serves you is you're so good to him. You take away all that he's got there and you see what happens. And God said, okay, go after him. Just don't take his life. And you know the story. He took away everything, one way right after the other. There's nobody I can ever think of, I've never heard of, that has had as much trial in their life, one right after the other, like this, like Job did. And yet, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Amen. Job kept the integrity of his faith and service of the Lord, even during those difficulties. But Satan is there as the accuser of the brethren. There's coming a time that God's going to say, it's time, you're out of here. And that time is in, recorded for us in Revelation 12. And it says that Satan, called the great dragon, and his army, which is the demons, fought with Michael, the archangel, and his angels. And there was no more place found for them in heaven. The victory goes to Michael and his angels. And Satan is kicked out. And in verse 12, it reads there, the devil has come down unto you, he's talking about unto the earth, unto specifically to Israel, having great wrath, get this, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. At that point, he knows. Do you know that the devil knows what the Bible says? He knows it better than I do and you do. He's had it a lot longer than me or you. And guess what? He's a lot smarter than I am. I know that shocks some of you, but he was created by God to have the greatest wisdom of any creature created. And he does not match God. There's none that can. But he's smart. He knows. And when this takes place, he knows that he will only have a short time. So he goes down with great intensity and urgency about what he wants to accomplish. And just like the devil, we don't have much time left to do the things that God wants us to do. To grow to the point that God wants us to. And so we must have an urgency about the things that we do. It reminded me when I was a teenager, there was a teen girl in our youth group whose dad really was not, I mean, he claimed to be saved, but he really wasn't there very often. Wasn't real on fire for the Lord or anything at all. About 35, less than 40 years of age, he found out that he had terminal cancer. And things changed in his life. Priorities changed in his life. This man that very seldom that we see in church, not only was in church, but was at the youth activities, was volunteering his home for teens to come over and let's do some things together. I want to go out visiting with y'all. In the healthy time that he had left, why? Because he had an urgency, knowing that he had but a short time left. My friend, can I tell you this morning that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow? None of us know whether we've got any long time ahead. And we ought to have an urgency about us. Not just because it's the end of the year, not just because the rapture may take place, not just because that we're going into a new year, it's a good time to make some commitments. But like I said at the beginning, anybody can make a commitment, but it takes determination to stick to it. And Jesus said in John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. He's not talking about, hey, you know, we don't have electricity, so we ain't got lights in the night. You can't work out here on the roads at night, you know, it'll be too dark. No, he's talking about work while you have time. Because the time's coming when you're not going to have any more time. Work while you have opportunity. Because the time's coming when we won't have opportunity. It may be the rapture is taking place. It may be our death. It may just be our health. But we ought to have an urgency about what we do. Which brought me to this thought. In Hebrews 10:25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Got to stop right there. One of the things that God says to us as believers is we ought to be present in his house. We're not to forsake assembly. That's what ecclesia, church, means, the assembly. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're to gather together. And not only that, but it goes on to say, but exhorting. We're not to forsake, but we're to come together and exhorting one another. The word means to come alongside, to encourage. We ought to be encouraging one another. You know, when you come to church, it shouldn't just be, I wonder what I'm going to get today. I wonder if they're going to sing songs I like today. I wonder if a choir is going to sing a number I like. I wonder if a preacher is going to preach a message that I think I need. You know, it's not all about you. Now, don't get me wrong, it's about you. But it's not all about you. We are to be here thinking about each other. To encourage one another. The previous verse talks about we're to provoke one another to love and good works. And as I taught you before, it says we got the provoke down pretty good. Using it in a bad sense. We're to encourage. The positive part of that is called positive peer pressure. And that's what we're to have on each other. We're to be encouraging each other when it comes to our love and good works. And we're to be encouraging one another in our attendance and presence here together. Because the time is short. The end is in sight. We need an urgency in the things that we should be doing. In 2004, a painting by Anna Marie Robertson, better known as Grandma Moses. Anybody heard of Grandma Moses? I didn't know Moses had a grandma. This painting that she had painted was brought to the Antiques Roadshow for appraisal. And she was born before the Civil War. But she did not really start painting until later in life. And some of the early paintings that she did, she didn't really think that they were worth much of anything. And this man that brought the painting in told a story how that they had lived, his parents and he had lived, close right down the street from Grandma Moses, and his mom was a friend of hers, and because Grandma Moses didn't think her paintings were worth much, she would let people buy them, and this neighbor, his mother, bought about 8 or so for about $10 a piece. This one was appraised at $60,000. Big difference. I never have found anything like that. But anyway, how often do we give up that which is so priceless for some little temporary pleasures or delights? How often do we sacrifice that which is worth so much on the altar of the immediate? I want something right now. The best way to determine what matters to someone is not by listening to what they say matters. Because see, if I asked you that question this morning, we each, I think, would be wise enough to say, I know what's most important, my relationship with the Lord. I know where the Lord would like me to be this morning. I'm glad I am here. I know what's But see, it's not by listening to what a person says but it's by watching what they do. The things that we give our time to indicate what we think is really important. So the end of the year, a great time to evaluate. Looking back over this last year, what would it be said is important to you by looking at what you gave your time to, what you invested yourself in? We need an urgency in the things that we should be spending our time on, the things that God has impressed upon us as so important, and not let other things get in the way. And then the last thing I share with you this morning, it should produce this understanding of a short time. The end is in sight. It should produce a necessary defense. How can we help defend ourselves from losing a proper perspective on the hope that we should maintain and on the urgency that we should be involved with? How do we defend ourselves from losing that? And there are two answers that I give you. The first one is we need to have an active participation in service. You've heard the statement before, use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. We need to be actively using. If you knew that you were going to be called on this morning to answer in class here, matter of fact, Danny, stand up for me. All right, I'm going to ask Danny, in the last 5 minutes that I've been talking, kind of give me a generalization of what I've been saying. And I'm not going to put him on the spot like that. Jack, you stand up. My point is this. You can sit down, Danny. Thank you. My point is this. If you knew that I was going to call on somebody to stand up in the next 5 minutes and say, over the past 5 minutes, can you give me a recap of what I just said? Do you think any of us would listen more carefully? Yeah. If we are going to be called to use it, we're going to be better prepared to share it, to use it. And so we ought to be listening with intensity, knowing that I need to be using this. I might not be called to stand up in church and say what I've just been preaching about, but I do need to leave out of here and put to practice the things that God's Word says are important.
Amen.
And so we need then not just to check off, yep, I came today, ended up the year right in God's church. What did the preacher preach on? Something? That's the Word of God. Yep, that's what it was. Have an active participation in service. The point is, if you're using what God gives you to serve and to help others, then it leads to a desire to get more prepared to be able to use what God has given. And we all need to be doing that, whether it's with our children, whether it's just with ourselves, and certainly if it's trying to help others. But you know, it's still possible to be very active. I had a hymn book up here. There we go. It's still possible to be very active in our service for the Lord and yet still be dry. There's a song that we sing, page 15 in the hymn book. You don't have to turn there, but "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." The first verse reads like this. It says, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace." Well, that's the first thing that we need right there. Lord, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. tune my heart to share your gospel. Tune my heart to counsel my children. Tune my heart, whatever responsibility we have. Lord, I have a desire. I want to defend myself by knowing your word, your principles, your precepts, that I may share with others properly. To my heart. There's another verse that says, in verse 3, oh, to grace now, great, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained. Daily I'm constrained to be a debtor to grace, is what he's saying. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, handcuffs, let bind my wandering heart to thee. Do you have a wandering heart? I do. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, don't we? Prone to leave the God I love. Prone, you know, that it's real easy for the embers of our fire for the Lord to die down. That's why we need stirring. We need revival, reviving. Not just when we plan special services, by the way. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Lord, my heart is prone to wander away. I need you to tune my heart to sing thy grace. And then I need you to seal my heart in that state of being tuned so I don't drift away further. That's our desire, should be. Have a daily submission to our Lord. Paul put it this way in Romans 8, he said, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. In Romans 12, he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In Galatians 2, I am crucified with Christ, he said. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, I die daily. All four of those deal with death. Mortify, sacrifice, crucify, die. Dying to self, dying to our flesh, dying to those things that want to draw us away from our walk with the Lord. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Tune my heart. And then seal it. That's what we need from the Lord. Daily sealing of our fleshly, a freshly tuned heart to the Savior and to the Lord. So let me ask you this morning. Are you looking for that blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ's return? Jesus is coming soon is not just a song. Jesus is coming soon. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We can see the finish line. It's not far. We need to press on toward that mark. Sprint even, because we know that we have but a little time. Does your work for the Lord have an urgency about it? Titus 2 that we read, verse 13 and 14, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of a great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. The word peculiar people means a people of his own possession. We are special possession. We are redeemed. We're bought with a price. We belong to him. And then it finishes with these last four words, zealous of good works. Eager. Urgency about our doing in them for the Lord. Because we know the end is in sight. So are you committed to being faithful, not just in your words, but in your works, remembering that actions speak louder than words? Get and stay active in service with the Lord. If you're not active already, then get active. Say, Lord, Pastor, I'm 80 years old. What can I do? Something. You know, when I first came here, there was a shut-in lady. She She lived right back here on Chippewa Lane. Ms. White, that's her name. I go back and visit her when I first came here. You know what she told me? Pastor, I am praying for you every day. That's been a lot. You know, there's no age that we can say we can't be active in service for the Lord. Amen. There's always something that we can do. And many times, that something is more than what we're presently doing. Get active. Stay active in your service. And submit unto your Lord. How often? Daily. Because the end is in sight. Father, I pray that as we have considered these thoughts this morning, that you would let us be totally committed, not just by the words that we say, but by the determination of our actions to follow. That we would follow you wherever you lead. Help that be our desire. Help that be our heart for you. Wherever you lead us, we are to live for you. We're to serve for you. We're to be what you want us to be as a believer. We're to do what you want us to do. And I pray that as we do, you would be greatly pleased. Father, I also pray for anyone that may be here this morning that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If they have any concern, any doubt, any question whatsoever, may they make sure today before they leave, for the end is in sight. In Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen.